Hello, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion. Thank you for joining us this holiday weekend. Appreciate that. Today is Sunday, May 26, 2019. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, United States of America. We warmly welcome you all. So we will start today with our morning prayer.
From Course in Divinity and General Collectania, the Blue Book, page 61. Father, teach me how to still the clamoring of sense and fill my place as listener, that I may hear thy voice and grow to understand thy word and so become thy messenger. Then teach me how to banish pride and stubborn will, that I may be thy representative, with no false sense of human zeal, that every word may bless and heal when I thy message give. Mary Baker Eddy.
Thank you. Miscellaneous writing. We today in this classroom are enough to convert the world if we are of one mind. For then the whole world will feel the influence of this mind, as when the earth was without form, and mind spake, and form appeared. Mary Baker Eddy. We have a couple of announcements before we start. Yesterday, I hope you all heard the Bible study. If you didn't, please do listen. It's a good one. And Gary spoke about something in length. He's only going to mention it briefly today, but
yeah, we have we've been offered a complete collection of original editions of books that were contained in Gilbert Carpenter's library. The Carpenter Foundation had them, and they've been in safekeeping by David Keeston for the last 25 or 30 years, and he's offered them for sale. And one of our members in France brought it to our attention.
And it was on eBay.
Yeah, it was on eBay. And David was very, very happy to be able to sell them to us, knowing that, in our hands they would be in safekeeping. So this is a collection of rare first editions of all the books that the Carpenters had in their library, some of which have been reprinted, like Footsteps, Precepts, and 500 Watching Points, and some others. But many of them have not been reprinted, but they carry the spirit of Christian Science that the Carpenters had with them. Gilbert Carpenter Sr., having spent 1 year working in Mrs. Eddy's household. And after that year, she was very sad to see him go. And it was many, many years later that he realized he had to write about his experience. So we are going to be the carers of, if you will, of those caretakers of those rare and valuable books. So anybody who would like to help contribute to that purchase we'd be appreciative of that. They will be here in Plainfield should anybody want to actually look at them and read them if you would like to visit.
Yeah. And also, Keeston published a very nice edition of what we call the 1910 edition of Science and Health, which is the one Mrs. Eddy approved of and signed off on before she passed on. And
the board made some changes to it.
And then after she passed on, the board made changes. So we have been selling that smaller navy blue one, they call it leatherette cover. This is a larger one. It's paperback, but it's more like those of you who are familiar with a new type Bible in Science and Health. It's bigger. The print is bigger. Even though it's paperback, it's a very nice edition. So we now have many copies of that, which will be on sale for, I think, $20 or something like that.
20 or 25, I'm not sure, but something very reasonable.
And our magazine for May, The Liberator, Love is the Liberator, is online now. We've had a little delay with the paper copies because we ran out of the blue paper. So it won't be printed until probably Wednesday or so and mailed out to those of you who get the printed copy. But it is a wonderful edition on the theme of handling animal magnetism. And I know someone in Wales wrote me, said, oh my gosh, that was just written for me. So I'm sure you'll find it very helpful. We've gathered all our articles about animal magnetism and how to handle it. It's got these beautiful paintings, one of Luann, just gorgeous, that goes to a poem that Carol found. So I hope you all read it online or get it. It's even better in person, I think.
Right? Absolutely.
So. Except I can do the watching.
Okay, I will read from 500 Watching Points, watch number 278. Watch lest you strive for your own idea of spiritual progress instead of seeking for God's destiny for you. There is progress in his destiny, to be sure, but that is God's business and he takes care of it. Our business is to find our destiny, since it is God's destiny for us that will carry us when we have found it. When one becomes too anxious about his progress in science, that is a proof that he is striving to progress according to his own ideas. Mrs. Eddy once said, quote, to be over anxious regarding your own progress is to acknowledge a person apart from God, end quote. Had the master been over anxious over his own progress, he never would have submitted to the cross. Yet it wrought God's destiny for him, which served the purposes of good in the world as nothing else could have done. Jesus proved that he was seeking God's destiny when he said, quote, into thy hands I commend my spirit, end quote.
Any comments on that?
Well, I've been using this all week. Sorry, go ahead. Oh, I've been using this watch all week because I really, the part about being too anxious and striving, you're using your own ideas. And that really struck me because it's really against the secular world that they have goals, work hard, you know, plan things out and have an idea. And I realized I was still living that when I was looking at this because it's, you know, I'm not comparing myself to anyone else's destiny. I realized I would even do that, that I wasn't looking like others. And, you know, I don't know what God has in mind for me, and I can't outline. And I get impatient and think it has to look a certain way. And it was actually, in a way, a kind of relief to realize that I can let it go in God's hands and let him show me.
Thank you. Thank you. Who else is speaking?
This is Debbie. In a similar way, this watching point was right on point this week, as they always are. I truly know that I have been making progress in my understanding and my reliance on God. And I was very happy and pleased with that, which is okay. But then I just left to the next step and being anxious. And so when this watching point came out, it woke me up and had me slow down. And then through other studies this week, what became so very clear to me is that prayer, and I know I've been taught this many, all years long, prayer is not about asking God or limiting to God what I would like for him to do, but yet it is just looking back, sitting back and knowing the truth that the divine law is in effect and that he will carry it out in an abundant way, much bigger than I could ever expect when I let him know and just rely on the truth. And it's very freeing, and I'm so grateful.
Thank you.
That's great.
What
And that's progress.
Yeah, that's progress.
What comes to me?
Lawrence, go ahead.
No, what comes to my thought is the simple, it's a song really that we learned in school growing up. Father, lead me day by day, ever in thine own sweet way. Teach me to be pure and true. Show me what I ought to do. I feel that just trying to live that, you know, it's brought me to where I would never have been able to go or come. So that to me, it does something for me.
That's very nice.
And put that on the forum. It's beautiful. We had some beautiful hymns as a child. Who else is speaking? Well, I've heard many people talk about they're worried. They want progress, and they want to understand this. They want to be able to walk on the water.
Or they're anxious because they want their healing so quickly.
Right.
Doesn't work that way.
No, you see a flower unfold. It cannot be forced. You can't pry open the petals or you will kill it. You've got to let it unfold. And God does this. This is God's work. And you think, again, the beauty. I mean, New Jersey is just incredible. We're not called the Garden State for nothing. All the trees and flowering plants and everything is so beautiful. And each individual, each different. Violet's not like the rose. Lilac is like Cynthia. They all are different, equally beautiful, and unfolding. And God's plan for them. They don't say or fight that I'm a zinnia and I want to be a violet, or I want to open up in May instead of June. They just come out when they do, according to God's destiny, yes. And every one of you has a destiny given to you by God. And when you get into that, you will unfold like the flowers, and you won't be so worried about your individual progress. It'll just happen. And so what, we've talked about it before, but what gives you this destiny? Well, it's usually love. You're not sure of your destiny, try loving more divinely, not humanly. You'll find out what God would want for you, because we were all made to love divinely, to love each other, to have an unselfish purpose, not a, I want this and my children have to go to Princeton and I this and I that. That's a recipe for disaster and misery. You let yourself unfold. You let everything around you unfold. You can be an example and you can suggest or things, but you can't make it happen. Only God, you said yesterday, only God can make a tree.
I think page 506 of Science and Health, where Mrs. Eddy says, Spirit God gathers unformed thoughts into their proper channels and unfolds these thoughts even as He opens the petals of a holy purpose in order that the purpose may appear.
Thank you. That sums it up perfectly. Perfect. Thank you, Florence. That's exactly right. A holy purpose for everything.
And everyone.
And everyone. And don't ever doubt that. And until you come upon that holy purpose, you probably will feel unhappy.
Or anxious.
Or anxious, because that's God prodding you to find what He wants for you. And it doesn't have to be some high and mighty thing. Some simple thing, whatever, just like the flowers, all are different. Some are more showy than others. But that doesn't mean that they're not all equally important or they all equally have their place, their times of unfolding.
So I thought I'd mention, just remind people, and so talk about healings may not be quickly. So on the Plainfield website is a wonderful article by Kate Buck about slow healing. I'll just might be good to take a look at that.
Thank you. That's a good article.
It's a good one.
Very good.
And it has to do with your motive, because if all you want is your healing, as we've said, healing is a byproduct of understanding God. As you understand God and your place in His universe, you understand how you were created by Him, that He loves you, get a greater understanding of Him, your body will just follow suit. The byproduct. And that leads me to our topic. Subject today is soul and body. And I'm going to just, Jeremy found this, it's Peter V. Ross, I believe, soul and body article, very short one, which I'll read. Because it kind of sums up our idea of soul and body. It's not like we have this soul and some loss, I mean, or some body and some soul, you know, flies out of it when we pass on. I don't understand all the other theologies, but this is what Peter V. Ross, an early worker in Christian Science, says. You want to know how mind can rectify bodily conditions? This is easy enough to understand when you recognize that you are mental throughout. You may try to separate yourself into soul and body, ascribing all intelligence to soul and none to body. But the fact is, soul and body are one. They are both mental. Body is the part of soul, or to use the new word, consciousness, which is cognizable to material sense. But it is mental. This is why it talks to you so much. Stop regarding yourself as both soul and body. Stop using the expression body at all if you like, and regard yourself as consciousness. Then it is plain why a change in your thinking will result in a change in what you have been calling body. For body is part of consciousness. Get the fear out of mentality, therefore, and you will get the wobbles out of your body. This has a lot to do with what we talked about last week. And it has to do with our oneness with God. Mrs. Eddy defines temple, one of the definitions, is body. And the Bible says that we are the temple of what?
The living God.
The living God. So think of your body like that. Temple of the living God. A temple is a dwelling place for God. But do you let God dwell within you? Are you so full of fear and anxiety and negativity and depression that there's no room for God to squiggle in even if He wanted? Just relax. Be what God made you to be. I love, it's this hymn. I think it's 166. Know, O child, thy full salvation, rise o'er sin and fear and care, joy to find in every station something still to do or bear. And then this, think what spirit dwells within thee. Think what Father's smiles are thine. Think what Jesus did to win thee. Child of heaven, canst thou repine? Think what spirit dwells within you. When I start to get over anxious or pushy or thinking I want to control things or think what spirit dwells within me, I say, okay, Mary, shut up. But what is God telling me? Calm down. Live in the present. What is that spirit telling me? And then go with that. And it's always speaking to you. You shut it out with all your weird worries and fears. And when you do that long enough, your body's going to say, I'm done with you, girl. And it'll give you some problems. So shut self up and listen. Listen to that inner voice. It'll tell you what to do, when to do it. You don't have to force it. I spent one night this week all worried, and it was a, what was that quote of Steve Evans about worry? Is the interest paid on a problem you don't have?
Exactly.
I was so worried about something in the morning that the problem didn't even exist. It just existed in my head. I lost a good night's rest over something that wasn't happening.
When I got in that, I think this little paragraph, two paragraphs, that I don't know where I found it, but anyway, it says, no matter what, we should come back to be still and know that I am God.
Yes. Yeah. That's our lodestone, or that's what we go back to.
There is a poem, and there's a couple of different versions of it. But one of the lines is, if I be relaxed and free, he'll carry out his plan through me.
Mm-hmm.
Children's prayer.
Yes, a children's
prayer. It is a children's prayer, but it's not Mrs. Eddy's. I'm not sure where it... I think it might have come from the Carpenters, actually. I am the spot where God shines through.
He and I, one. Mm-hmm.
Wants me where, and as I am, I will not worry.
I'm not afraid.
I'll be relaxed and free. He'll carry out his plan for me. He can't carry out his plan for you when you're so full of, and it's what we call the mortal mind, all the negative emotions. The Bible calls it the carnal mind. And it's hard for him to get through to you when you're so full of that. So be still. Stop it. Don't have to listen to that voice. Someone this week wrote and told me all these thoughts were attacking her. Well, it seems that way. It seems like these thoughts are attacking you, but can thoughts attack you? Oh, you're giving all your dominion up when you say that. And God gave man dominion over all things.
That he tells us. Stan Porter, where?
At the door of thought.
Yeah. I mean, we can't be responsible for the thoughts that come to us. Error will attack us when we're doing right and we're destroying error. It will attack you. It will come. It will throw thoughts at you. But we have a choice to say, get thee behind me, Satan, or get all worried about it, you know? So don't get impressed when these thoughts come to you, thoughts of fear or anxiety or whatever. Don't bow down to them, because they're not yours, and they're not from God.
This is very powerful, and you said it, and it has helped me so much.
Well, these are basic truths, science, and just a matter of working it, not just reading it and thinking, wow, this sounds great and that's true, and then going on. I love it because Tom from New York told me that once. He read the lesson and he'd go off to work and be worried about everything. And we've all done that. Then you're just like throwing it out the window. No, when those thoughts come, that's why the page is 390 to 393 in Science and Health. You work this science. You stand for it at the door of thought. And what's the rest of that set? Well, it's something, allowing only those thoughts that you want to come into your experience, and you will control yourself harmoniously. That's a paraphrase. So think of yourself. Think. You get a thought. Mary, you're a piece of crap. Do I want to have that thought manifested in my life? No, I don't. Why should I be thinking it?
So you say nothingness.
Thank you. Go ahead, Lauren. Nothingness is powerlessness.
Yeah, Mrs. You know, we're to say nothingness and powerlessness to every wrong thought that comes, or every wrong thing that we see, every wrong feeling that we feel, is still nothingness, powerlessness.
Yes, and you can tell it to go back to wherever it came from.
Mm-hmm.
Destroy itself.
And destroy itself. And if anybody else is hanging on to it, they're going to feel it.
And if God isn't saying it, it's not being said.
Yes.
God is the one you turn to for your thinking. He is your thoughts. That's your oneness. That's why there's no division between soul and body. It's the oneness, and he's your consciousness. If you allow him in and don't create these barriers, then he's telling you, no, you're my beloved child. You think you're sick? God, did God say you're sick? But if you think you're sick and dwell on it, oh my gosh, I got this and I'm not feeling good here and all this, well, pretty soon you're not doing well. Or if you push yourself, push and push because you got to do it. Well, those are all disobedience. That's where you stop. God, what would you have me to do?
That comes back to the watching point.
Your divine destiny, not your human willful destiny, not even a destiny, your human willful plan for yourself versus God's unfoldment of his good plan. Which are you listening to? You hate your ex-husband. Great. You're going to chew on that for a while? See where that gets you. No, God never said it. Okay, maybe it didn't work out right, so leave it alone. Drop it. No, he's the child of God. You're the child of God. God creates a peaceful universe. You don't dwell on the negative. You don't dwell on the hate, the resentment, or anything else you feel. Not that you ignore it. You might acknowledge it, but then you get rid of it. The negative. The negative. Don't entertain it. Don't chew on it. Not healthy.
You don't let it govern you.
You had a testimony once where you said that you found ruminate one of the things and meant to chew again. So.
Right, like a cow.
Mm-hmm.
Cow.
I'll choose its cud. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a pleasant thing to do. And Mrs. Eddy says in Science and Health, mortal man ruminated and the trial began. And that's the trial of error, not the trial where God is in control, but the trial of error, which will accuse you, okay, you're bad, you did this, you're awful, and you're going to die. So, in your dream, that's what goes on, because that is, it's not the truth about you. It's a dream that you're dreaming. Error comes to you for life, and what?
You give it all the life we can have.
Yes, that's Mary Baker Eddy. So you let these thoughts take you over, you chew on them, and then they seem to manifest more and more in your experience until you stop it. And who wants that? Nobody. And the control, the dominion is within you. So the thoughts are not actually attacking you. They seem to be, but you can rise up in rebellion. Against them, that he said.
Well, and this is one of the features of evil that is important to understand. And Mrs. Eddy is so clear about this. Evil, these evil thoughts, they actually don't have power. I mean, if you give it power, it seems to have power, but it doesn't have power. The only power evil has is to suggest to you to believe it and then do something about it and thereby harm yourself. The evil does not have any power. When you realize that, then you can rise up and say, wait a minute, get the hell out of here. And if you really mean it, it will leave you. Think of Jesus in the wilderness. You know, he was hungry. Well, turn the, you know, He was tempted. He went through everything that we have ever gone through. So don't feel like you're alone when you're going through. Jesus went through it before you. And he overcame the world. He said no to all this crap that tried to come to him. And he said it with a conviction that God is all. And with that that conviction has power. So if you have the conviction within yourself that God is all, you can say to these thoughts, get the hell out of here, and they will leave you.
As we did the Christ. Yeah, and that's the thing. You don't have to take our word for it. You do it yourself. You'll prove it. And that's what Mrs. Eddy says over and over. This is a provable. This is a science, which is why it's called Christian Science. It's provable. You can prove it if you do it. But you have to really mean it. You can't do it for an hour and then go back to your old ways. You got to do it.
I think furthermore, they are illusionary and they trick us because mind, as Gary just said, mind, God is all. Therefore, mortal mind from which all this so-called thoughts come, it doesn't even exist. I was like, wait a second. So they're still the mirage, that's not there. You know, the snake, that's not there. It's a stick. All that. So we have a good foundation from God's allness to really dismiss them with God's authority.
Thank you, yes.
Exactly.
It goes back to the first commandment, thou shalt not have any other gods before the one God. So, you give air all this life. Mrs. Eddy has been ridiculed for saying things like this. That's why you can prove it. And that's why you can ridicule her all you want. We know it's true because we've proven it in our lives. And we can all say where we once were and where we are now, like night and day, by applying these truths, by working this science. It works because it is the truth with a capital T. And it is all based on what?
The
Bible. It's biblical. This is why we love the Bible. All right, the golden text, Psalm 103:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, Joe, she wrote on our forum, we have a Joe visiting today, that's why I live. Nancy. And the whole world knows. As well as Suzanne from Vermont, who brought her maple syrup, which we had a special request for. Anyway, so this is what Joe wrote on the form.
Okay. All that is within me, every organ and every function of my body blesses God's holy name. My lungs breathe in God's presence all around me. The word of God feeds me, and I digest and assimilate it easily. My bowels are of mercy and goodness, eliminating all that is unkind to my being. Truth supports me and goes to the very joints and marrow of my bones. Love is the heart of my being, circulating pure motives in all I say and do. My nerves are controlled by mind, God. And I act at the impulse of his love.
Thank you. And that's taking that one statement and applying it. All that is within me, every part of me, is blessing his holy name. So think of yourself that way. This is, again, your body, the temple of the living God. Well, if you're doing all these wonderful things, it is the temple of the living God. So what problem do you have?
Take it to God.
It reminds me, and I've given this before because I love it so much, it's Martha Wilcox, first article on body, where she says, do not fear anything that your present body seems to be doing. every cell, fiber, tissue, gland, organ, or muscle of the human body exists right now in the one mind as idea. And each idea is proclaiming, I am reflecting God. I am expressing God. Every cell and fiber of my being is expressing the sovereignty of God or proclaiming I am. What a great thing. That's what Joe was saying, more or less than that. Every part of you. So what part of you is causing a problem? Let me hear about it. This is going to wipe it out if you apply it and think of yourself that way. Not as some poor mortal who's having an old terrible time.
And we can ask, what does God have to say about this? Sometimes that just clears the deck. Like, yeah, why am I ruminating over all these little, take it back to square one. What does God have to say about this? Well, and then it just like brings you back.
Yeah. It does.
To and what the, and you the know reason, is true.
And the reason is because there isn't anything made that wasn't made by God. So you can count on it. Exactly.
That was, you know, really very often just the simple statements of truth, just that's it. Does. It clears the deck. End of story. And sometimes I've told people when they have got problems, we'll make a list of all your problems on one side of the page, and then what does God say about it? Make that list. And then stay with what God says about it. It'll wipe out all the trouble. It will, but you have to be consistent and do it. Again, work it. I know Florence said that's one of the things she loved when she came to this church, because Mrs. Evans was so practical in the application.
Yes. Finally, I had something to do to really understand and apply daily. It's just an incredible gift.
Yes, it certainly is. Maybe that leads into Linda's forum.
What part do you want me to do? A lot. So just the one part of this that I wrote about, I don't remember, George Mueller, is that how you say his name?
Yes, yes, you can read that quote from George Mueller.
So I found a quote, and I found it really interesting, because it's really spoke to what we're learning here. It's just a different way of putting it.
And George Mueller lived in the
1840s to the late 1800s, I think.
He was German, and then he went to England and did a tremendous work in orphanages at that time. It was the Oliver Twist time where children were on the street. Yeah. He did it all, and he paid for it all through trust in God.
Like 10,000 orphans with little Lois.
And this story was, given to us by Parthens. And on the forum, he linked George Mueller's website.
I've never seen such happy children. They have such joy. And he had them play and be natural, and he also taught them the Bible and had a very prayerful life for them.
Any of you have been quoting about George Mueller, I just wanted to make sure you knew, of course. And there's also a YouTube. We watched a movie about him. That was,
that's on YouTube.
The Prayerful Life of George Mueller.
Robber of the Cruel Street.
Robber of the Cruel Street.
So beautiful.
And because of his prayerful life and his love for the Bible and the work he did for God, I found this a nice, helpful quote. And said, quote, I began early in the morning. The first thing I did after having asked in a few words the Lord's blessing upon his precious word was to begin to meditate on the word of God, searching, as it were, into every verse to get blessing out of it, for the sake of obtaining food for my soul. Now what is the food for the inner man? Not prayer, but the word of God. And here again, not the simple reading of the word of God, so that it only passes through our minds just as water runs through a pipe. But considering what we read, pondering over it, applying it to our hearts. When we pray, we speak to God. End quote.
Thank you. This is something, you know, Mrs. Eddy has established for all of us in our study of science and health, or the Bible and science and health, every morning, spending time with God in the morning. And not just to read it real fast and go on your way, but to really think about the truth, how it applies to you, how it can change, just as Jo did in that example where she took it to further depth. So then, Linda, now where did you get that article? I didn't find it in the book.
It was probably on his website.
Sorry, I moved on to Mrs. Evans.
Oh, Mrs. Evans, that's on our website, actually.
It is on our website. Yeah. Okay, staying on the straight and narrow, in which Linda lists, and these are all things we've talked about here, things that you should do in the morning, and who knows some of them. What do you do in the morning before your feet hit the floor? She would love to say.
God is mind. God is my mind. God is the only mind. And God is life. God is my life. God is the only life.
Thank you. In doing that, you are establishing your oneness with God. Knowing that He's your mind and He's your life. This is what also will help you reveal to you your spiritual destiny. God created you for His purpose. He didn't create you for your purpose, for His purpose. So as you align yourself up with that, your day will unfold according to His purpose.
And how far ahead do you need to know what your divine purpose is?
Moment by moment.
Yes, for now.
Yeah, do you need to know what your divine purpose is 10 years from now? No. You only need to know what it is today. What does God have for me to do today?
If Betty said otherwise, it's to try to steal from tomorrow.
Yeah.
There's an article on our website, too, just for today.
Yeah. For today. You'll know these truths. Beautiful article. Thank you. So after that, before your heat hit the floor, what do you do next?
The daily duty.
Thank you very much. The daily duty. They're given to us by Mrs. Eddy in our manual.
And reprinted in our full text.
Over and over again.
Every week.
You can't forget them. Forget to do them. And they are... They are called daily duties. That means what?
Daily duties.
Anyone want to give me the first one?
Thy kingdom come, let the reign of divine truth, life, and love be established in me and rule out of me all sin. And may thy word enrich the affections of all mankind and govern them.
Thank you.
And that's called a daily prayer. If you really, again, think about it, don't just do it by rote, think about what it is saying. It's tremendous. Tremendous prayer. It covers so much. And then a rule for modus and act.
Neither animosity nor mere personal attachment should impel the motives and acts of the members of the Mother Church. In science, divine love alone governs man, and a Christian scientist reflects the sweet amenities of love in rebuking sin and in true brotherliness, charitableness, and forgiveness. The members of this church should daily watch and pray to be delivered from all evil, from prophesying, judging, condemning, counseling, influencing, or being influenced erroneously.
Thank you.
Thank you.
most important one. It washes you clean, purifies your motives. We get all tangled up in, you know, wanting our whatever it is we want in life, or being influenced erroneously, or trying to influence others erroneously, or having animosity motivate you, or mere personal attachment motivate you, just because he's my child or my husband, I've got to do this. This washes you clean of it, gets you back on the straight and narrow, as the name of the article is. And then alertness to duty.
It shall be the duty of every member of this church to defend himself daily against aggressive mental suggestion, and not be made to forget nor to neglect his duty to God, to his leader, and to mankind. By his works he shall be judged and justified or condemned.
So this goes back to what we're talking about, these thoughts that seem to attack. Are you going to be made to forget and neglect your duty, your destiny, your divine destiny for the day because you're going to go to bed because you're feeling crummy? This has helped me so much in overcoming the erroneous suggestions that come to you when I see this, that I see it's just trying to make me forget or neglect my duty to God, to Mrs. Eddy, and to mankind. That's all it's about. That's all it ever wants to do is get you in bed, or we talked about yesterday, get your testimony all mixed up so you don't have a testimony for God. Your testimony is all for the so-called devil. I'm a miserable mortal. God doesn't exist. I've had a miserable life, and I'm going to be miserable forever. Well, thanks a lot.
A friend of mine a long time ago shared this comment with me, that any aggressive mental suggestion, it never left suggestion to become fact. And it just stayed with me. He's right. It's just a suggestion.
Thank you. And you will find, even though it seems hard to believe, it's probably 99.9%. Troubles you have, it first comes as a teeny little suggestion. Then he says it's an embryo thought. Teeny, teeny, teeny. It's back there. You don't like somebody, or whatever, you're not feeling well, or maybe you've got some horrible disease. Comes as some little teeny thought. And then you let it. You let it take over. Catch it while it's that little teeny suggestion. Be so aware of your thinking that you see it and get rid of it. And when I started out, I was so used to being negative and depressed and fearful that I didn't catch all these suggestions. They just poured over me. It took a lot of work to get where I'm aware of what I think.
Can you imagine how different the history of the world would have been if Eve had stopped and not had a conversation with the serpent? She had realized that it was aggressive mental suggestion coming to her as a suggestion. Well, it wouldn't have grown into the great red dragon. So as Mary says, catch these suggestions when they're suggestions so that they don't grow into great red dragons and seem to be really huge, serious problems.
Well, Linda's forum comments go on, and you can all read them. Read the article by Mrs. Eddy, and we have taught them here what you're to do in the morning, the being a law to yourself, mental malpractice cannot harm you either when asleep or when awake, making sure you're thoroughly studying our lesson in the morning. And the three statements of Jesus Christ from John, I and my Father are one. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. The Father hath not left me alone. Reading a few pages every day from the Bible, Signs and Health, and prose work, all of these things. And it might sound like a lot, but it really isn't. And it will save you so much time in the long run.
Because putting our spiritual armor on.
Thank you, Suzanne. Is. Now, I'm going to have Gary read something by Mrs. Evans in her book, Sermons and Articles, The Nature of Illusion, which is very interesting.
There was something very interesting the other day on television concerning the nature of illusion, the nature of misdirection. A human thought can be misdirected to think it sees what it does not see. A famous magician named Blackstone performed a trick for 20 years that no one was ever able to figure out. The trick was this. The magician appeared on a stage before 1,000 people and began to pull handkerchiefs out of the tube. After a time, a young lady stepped out of this tube. He continued the performance, removed more handkerchiefs from the tube, and a donkey appeared. For 20 years, he fooled people with this illusion. And when he retired, he was willing to tell how he had done it. He said, "It was clearly a case of misdirection, which is what magic is all about, and also what animal magnetism is all about." While he was pulling the colorful handkerchiefs out of the tube, people were much engrossed. And when the young woman appeared, they were very engrossed. And while that audience of 1,000 was watching him do this, he quietly took 2 steps into the wings, brought out the donkey that was waiting, covered it with colored kerchiefs, and brought it out to the front of the stage. And no one saw him do it. For 20 years, no one ever saw it, because they had been misdirected to be watching what wasn't the main event. Pretty good lesson for the metaphysician, isn't it? We have been misdirected by mortal mind to watch a human body, or a human pocketbook, or a human business situation, and to be so wrapped up in that that we don't see that right where the problem seems to be, there the Lord God Almighty is in full power and presence and complete willingness to care for His creation. What a good lesson. If you're ever tempted to get so wrapped up and obsessed by a problem, declare that you will not have your thinking misdirected by the devil, so that you are not able to see the tremendous good and harmony that are right there with you, ready to operate in your behalf.
Be still, my soul. It's going to be what they're going to sing today. It's going to be beautiful. So, thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.